It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. If you are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
If you're participating online, welcome to church in Sydney, and we trust that the word of God will do you good. We had a message from the Lord, and the word of God showed us that the life of a Christian is an ever-increasing life. Every good thing in your life has been designed by God to increase. There is not one thing God has put in your life that will remain the same. It will always progress. God's design is for your life to get better. The you that I'm seeing right now, by the time I'm seeing you tomorrow or next week, your life is designed to have moved forward. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 shows to us that the path of the just, the path of the righteous, is like the gleams. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. In NIV, it will say the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. When it is early in the morning and you look through your window and you see some sunlight, it might look not very bright. It says, wait a minute, as the day progresses, that light shines ever brighter till the full light of the day. It could never be on the rivers. When light shows up in the morning at 4 a.m., by 6 a.m., it could not be darker than it was by 4 a.m. That is the design of the life of the Christian. It is designed to move forward. It's designed to get better. That's God's design for your life. And I told you last week that I'm going to show to you that nothing can stop it from being so. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, we saw the second week ago that when God created man, he created man to have dominion. Man was not created to be dominated. He was created, your design, when God designed you, he designed you to rule, to be in charge, to dominate in every situation and in every circumstance. That's God's dream for you. If you have a dream for your child, you want that child to go to school and finish from elementary and go to higher school and finish from higher school and go to the university, you are going to put in everything within your resources to ensure that that child goes through this process. Even if sometimes you have to hire a special teacher to teach this child after school hours, you're going to do it to ensure that your dream for this child comes true. If you, being a man with all the weaknesses that is in your life, will do that to see that your child becomes a success, what do you think about God? God's dream for your life could not be frustrated by anybody, not by any circumstance, not by any situation. It doesn't matter what happens to the economy of the country you live in, the dream of God for your life stands sure. Some of you have heard my testimony. I grew up very sickly. But the day I found out that it was God's will for me to be in health, Apostle John was writing that in one of his letters. He says, I wish, that's the Holy Spirit writing through Apostle John says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I said, oh, God is not just only wanting me to understand the scriptures and quote the scriptures. He wants me to be in health. Why am I being sick all this while? Who has been making me sick? So it's not God. He wants me well. And I found that it was the devil that's been making me sick. I said, that's the last time. My father wants me well. I'm going to be well. I found that out in the year 1995. Since 1995 till now, over 25 years, I've not had need for a single paracetamol. Listen, my brother and sisters, if God has enough power to keep himself alive and healthy, he has enough power to keep you alive and healthy. Irrespective of the situation that you might be faced with, irrespective of the circumstances you might find yourself, the word of God cannot be broken. In Genesis chapter 10, we were reading about how God had sent Moses to take Israel out of Egypt to the promised land called Canaan. But Israel, we are slaves. The people of Israel, we are slaves to the most powerful kingdom there was at that time. And the Egyptians have become used to doing nothing for themselves, but having slaves do everything. So how are you going to let these slaves go? Practically, it was impossible. The guy God sent to go bring them out of Egypt was a fugitive. Someone who fled for his life because he committed crime. A criminal was sent to come and bring you out of bondage. He himself is a criminal. So there is no hope for you. When God is working something for you, it doesn't matter who he finds. The miracle of God will come through in your life. If you will always understand that the one who is your father is God Almighty, the creator of the universe, to whom belongs all power, he is able to do whatever he desires in his mind just by the word of his mouth. If the word of God said, like we saw in Proverbs just a while ago, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says the path of the just or the path of the righteous is like the shining light that shines brighter. If you see a Christian today, it doesn't matter how ugly he looks to you. Wait until you see him tomorrow. He's going to look more beautiful. Every moment you see him, he gets better. Why? It's the nature of God himself. The beauty of God yesterday. The Bible says the angels, they keep worshiping him. They looked at his glory. Wow, so awesome. And then they fall down to worship him. When they lift up their eyes, they see another dimension of God. He has increased in glory. They say, we can't handle this. Then they fall down again. Do you remember a story of how Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, with him onto the mountain to go and pray? Now, when they go there, the Bible described that a glory came upon him, and his raiment became as white as snow, and his face was glittering, brighter than the light of the sun. Now, when they saw that, they couldn't handle it. They were filled with awe. And the Bible said a cloud came around them and covered them. And there appeared unto him Elijah and Moses talking with him. And when they finished talking with him, they left. Now, before they left, the Bible said that Peter was in awe, confused. He didn't know what to say. He said, Master, I think we should be here. There's no need going home. We should remain here. We will build a tabernacle, just four tabernacles, or three. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Don't worry about us. Your glory is enough for us. They actually fell in awe. And then Jesus got them up. And by the time they lifted up from the ground, they saw no Moses no more. They saw no Elijah no more. Those guys were gone. And then if you're familiar with the story, Jesus says, hey guys, don't tell anybody this experience. This is special. Now, if you saw that about Jesus, what do you think about God himself in heaven? Every moment the angels look on him, they see so much glory that they can't stand it. So they fall. Now, For angels to be worshiping him for millions of years and they are not bored, something is making it happen. That is the increase, constant increase in glory. Dear brothers and sisters, if we were born after the image of God, like we saw in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says that God created man in his image. So we have that, that there is a characteristic that is in God that is also in man. Now, even though man fell in the Garden of Eden, when Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, we being Christians have been recreated. The first one that was created in the image of God. He said, but now we have been recreated in Christ Jesus, which means the Christian is not an ordinary person. If Jesus is carrying the glory of God, the Christian who has been recreated in Christ Jesus is also carrying the glory of God. That was why Jesus said, Father, the glory that thou gave me, I have given unto them, that they might be one in me and also one in you, that we all might be one together. You are not ordinary. That's why when I walk to my workplace, some of you have heard me talk about my workplace, I say inside my mind, I said, King of the universe is come around here today. I started to work there a couple of years ago, and that company altogether, total asset was about $13 million altogether nationwide. Today, the net profit of that company monthly is over $13 million. What happened? Every day I come in there, I say there is not one situation in this company today that does not have an answer. Because the blessed man has come in here. God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he said, I will bless you and make you a blessing. Through you and your seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. As a Christian, anywhere you enter, blessing has come in there. Your life is not ordinary. When Moses told Pharaoh, the God of the Hebrews has asked me to take the people, the Israelites, out of Egypt to go worship him in the wilderness. Pharaoh sensed something was wrong somewhere. He smelt it. You guys ain't going nowhere. One plague after another. You guys ain't going nowhere. All right, only the men can go worship God. Leave the women behind and the children. He says, no, we got to take everybody with us. All right, the adults can go, leave the children. He said, we've got to take everybody with us. Oh, it's okay. Take everybody, but leave the animals. He said, with what shall we worship our God? We want to take everything, every animal, not some of the animals, every single animal we want to take with us because we don't know yet what we will give to our God. When we get there, we don't want to find out that the one we left behind is the one we should have given him. So we got to take everything. My dear brother and sister, if your life is good until it is the best, don't give up. If you fall sick sometimes and you get well, it's not good enough. Because your father doesn't fall sick sometimes. You can decide the kind of life you want to live. Don't give some bit of your life to the devil to control. Exodus chapter 10. Take everything, but leave the animals. You guys can go leave the animals. Say, we can't go like that. We need to take everything. Moses had asked to let the people go, but Pharaoh just won't let them go. There was one plague after another. I'm sure you're familiar with the stories. If you're not, it's still in the Bible. Exodus chapter 10. Now, it got to this point that Moses commanded, God asked Moses, stretch your hand over the land. Locust is going to cover the land and it will eat up everything that was left from the hail. Hail had destroyed the whole country. Now, spread your hand over the land and it will eat up and locusts are going to come out and fill everywhere and it will eat up everything. It happened. And Pharaoh called for Moses again. He said, all right, I'm sorry for the last time. This time you guys can go. Take everything, but leave the animals behind. He says, no, we got to take everything. He says, no, you can't do that. I smell something wrong. Moses, you're not being honest. Praise God. He called Moses. Moses removed every locust by the power of God from the land. And they were gone. The Bible shows us that actually the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He wouldn't let the people go. What happened next? And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt that something unusual is about to happen on the earth. What is about to happen? One, there is going to be a strong, trying to look for the right word for this. Okay, I'll put it this way. There's going to be a very marked differentiation between those that know God and love God and those that don't. Now, I have studied the Bible. That's what God does every time that he's about to make some judgments. Events that are happening in our earth today, they are not strange to God. God knew they were going to happen. There's not one thing that happens on earth today that is a surprise to God. God knew them ahead of time. And it might shock you to know that God allows them. That's why they happened. And every single event on the earth, God takes hold of it. He makes use of it to accomplish his purpose. Praise God. Some of you are wondering what that means. I will leave it at that until the day that I will teach you the use of Satan. Satan is busy accomplishing God's business. He thinks he's fulfilling his own dream. Interesting. He thinks he's accomplishing his own dream, but he's busy fulfilling God's program. For example, why would he crucify Jesus? He thought he was killing the Son of God. Go and read the parables of Jesus. Jesus described it that a certain man hired his farmyard to some folks, and then he would send his servants to go and bring the proceeds. They beat the first one, kill the second one. You know, they were beating them, returning them shamefully back to their master. Then the master figured, okay, let me send my son this time. Peradventure, they will respect my son and bring me the proceeds. When they saw the son coming from afar, they said, he made a mistake this time. He has sent his son, and that's the heir to this whole farm. We think we know what to do. We will kill the son, and then the farm becomes ours. So when Satan killed Jesus, he thought he was taking advantage against God, and he was going to take over the kingdom of the universe. But he didn't know that he was making the mistake of his life. The Bible described to us in the episodes of John that Jesus is life. The very life that God was completely encapsulated in Jesus. He said, this is the life. Anyone that had the Son of God had life. The very essence of living was encapsulated in Jesus. So Satan saw it and said, we got it now. This is it. Kill this one, and then that's the end of God's dream. But he didn't know that while he was making his own plans, God already has planned his agenda, that Jesus, the Son of God, was to be crucified even from the foundation of the world. And therein is the salvation of the entire world. Listen, my dear brother and sister, there is not one thing Satan can do in your life today that God does not take advantage of to accomplish his program for your victory and success in life. Amen. Some of them might come and appear as challenges, but relax, God is doing something. There is going to be such an acceleration of progress in your life. What you couldn't dream of happening in 10 years is going to happen before 1 year. Listen, this is not going to happen by your own strength. It's not going to happen by your own calculations. It's not going to happen by your own smartness. It's going to happen by the Spirit of God. Because there is something God wants to accomplish in his program. You didn't design the human race, did you? So you don't have an understanding of what is going on until you study the Bible. There is something God has planned to do. That is why he revealed in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 and Micah chapter 4 from verse 1 to 2. He says, in the end times, watch out. He says, the mountain, the church shall be lifted up above every other systems and governments of the world. That's what the Bible said. He said, the church is going to be lifted up. The mountain of the Lord's house is going to be exalted and established in the top of the mountains. What is the mountains? Every other systems of the world. And if you go to verse 2, He says something is going to happen. When they see that thing happen, in verse 1, he says, and all nations shall flow unto it. And I told you what all nations mean. All nations means different systems, different organizations. They represent nations. Nations of doctors, nations of engineers. Different nations shall flow unto the church. It didn't say shall flow into the church. It says shall flow unto the church. What does it mean to flow unto? They are coming to the church to seek answers. They have not been converted yet, but they are coming to find answers from the church. Why? Because they will see clearly that things are working in the church that is not working elsewhere in the world. The economy system of the world is collapsing, but the church is increasing in their finances. The health system of the world is crashing down. They can't find answer to COVID. They can't find answer to disorders. Even worse situation is going to hit the earth for which they can't find answers. But nothing is happening to the church. The health system of the church is getting more robust. We are declaring we could never be broken down. We are declaring our health is rising every time. Then they hear the Christian says we could never be sick. And then when they see and actually observe that the Christians are beyond every of these things that is plaguing the world, the nations of the world will flow onto the church to go and find out what is the secret. And verse 2, you are reading verse 3. He said, okay, let's take from there. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. They're not asking for laws. They're not asking for the Ten Commandments. They are asking for the principles by which things are always working for the church. Things are always working for the church. Then they will say, let us go and find out, and he will teach us his way. We know Christians are good people. If we ask them, they will tell us, let's go to the house of the Lord. That is the design. When? He says, in the end times. Verse 2. He says, in the end times. And it shall come to pass that in the last days, which are the days in which we are, there is going to be a demarcation. The church is going to be lifted up by the word of God. It is not because we begin to think smarter. No, but by the Spirit of God. The church is being lifted up above every system and circumstances of the world. Began to tell you, not anything nor anyone can stop the church this time. If you study the end of the chapter, I started from Exodus chapter 10, you read up to the end. In fact, from that verse 21, God asked Moses to call forth darkness upon the land. And darkness came and was upon that land for 3 days, night and day, 72 hours. And the Bible said the darkness was so thick that you can feel it in your skin. I couldn't even imagine that. But the Bible also says that that darkness covered only the part where the Egyptians were. It didn't get to Goshen where the Israelites were. When you study Joshua chapter 2, from verse 18, when Joshua sent out 2 spies into Jericho, they entered Jericho, spied the land as they were coming out. They had to take refuge in the house of one harlot. And when they stayed there, when they were leaving, the harlot said to them, we understand that God is with you guys. We heard the stories how you crossed the Red Sea. Some of the challenges you are going through now, they are allowed by God so that your testimony will frighten your enemies that you might meet tomorrow. He says, we heard how you crossed the Red Sea. And what happened to the other nations around after the Red Sea? He says, your fear has crippled the whole of Jericho. He says, we know that you guys will take over this land. Please, when you guys come, we ask that you please spare me and my family. Then the spies said to them, all you need to do, you see confidence. They know they have taken over the land. Listen, brothers and sisters, this word is coming to you so that you can know who you are. You are not ordinary. It says, when we come, all you guys need to do is put a scarlet, this scarlet rope, with which you led us down this window. Put it on this window. When we come back, whatever miracle God does, this house will be spared. When they came in Joshua chapter 6, when they crossed the Jordan and they got to Jericho, Jericho had a thick wall. Nobody knew what to do with this wall, but God knew what to do. You can't cross into Jericho because the gates were locked. You can't climb over the wall because it was very high. You can't cut through the wall because it was so thick. What do we do with this? God has an understanding. The issues of your life that you don't have an answer for, relax, God has an answer. God said to them, relax, you don't have to do nothing in this one. Just go around the matter. Just keep going around the wall. Keep going around the wall. Keep going around the wall. What were they doing? They were just exercising their legs. Keep going around the wall. Keep going around the wall. Don't say nothing. Just keep quiet. Keep going around the wall. Listen, sometimes it's necessary to just keep quiet. Instead of talking what is not right. I don't know what is happening to this, my matter. Don't talk that way. Just keep quiet. It's all right. If you know what right to say, then you can open your mouth and begin to declare, my life is moving forward. This me you see today is the worst of me you will ever see. By the time you see me tomorrow, my life is better. When you know the right thing to say, then you can open your mouth. Don't ever use your mouth to say anything negative. Why? Because the Bible shows us that there is power in our tongue. We are not ordinary. The things we say, they carry power. God asks them, shut up, you guys just keep quiet, just go around this world once every day. On the seventh day, go around seven times. And after you go around seven times, you shout. They will be tired by then. He said, it is not your strength that I'm looking for. Just do what I say. Now, after the seventh day, they marched around the seventh time, they blew the trumpet and the people shouted. And the wall that was thick enough to contain houses on top, the whole wall sank into the ground. Moses said to Israel when they were by the Red Sea, he said, relax, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God. The Egyptians you see today, by tomorrow you shall see them no more. What challenges are in your life that you think they are forever? Shut up! Let God speak. The challenges you see today, tomorrow, you shall see them no more. The life of the Christian has been designed to exhibit the glory of God, the perfection of God. So anything that is negative, that does not beautify, anything that does not exhibit the goodness and the glory of God, wait a second. God is taking it out of your life because your life must exhibit the fullness of God. It must, that's the design. And what happened here? When they shouted, the whole wall collapsed. But guess what? The very house where this woman Rahab was living in is in the wall that collapsed. So God sent angels to go hold that part. Brothers and sisters, God is awesome. Let's give him some praise. Your life is a wonderful life. Your life is a glorious life. Every day of your life, God has designed it that it gets better. It gets brighter. You are moving forward. Nothing can stop you.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen. Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at info@cesydney.org. That is info@cesydney.org. God bless you.